You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Larry Rast, and Will Wheaton at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Early bird registration is $135. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
Easter's a day of joy when we celebrate resurrection and renewal.
No laws really are neutral. All laws really do try to promote a certain idea of the good life.
Male and female are just simply identified, or they're just mere appearances, and you can change that. That is a lie of Satan that we need to understand, and the church needs to be prophetic enough to recognize what is going on there.
Wisdom is Jesus. Wisdom is God, the Word, who was incarnate for our salvation. All other wisdoms are but frail or pale attempts to reflect him.
The Pegs from Port Huron, Michigan, love listening to Issues Etc. while feeding the cats.
President Biden unveiled his proposed budget today. People are looking at it from every angle. One angle that I'm curious about is, will it support the Hyde Amendment, this long-standing 40-plus year rider that, well, keeps federal funds from going to abortion? Biden was a longtime supporter of the Hyde Amendment. In fact, it had bipartisan support until very recently. What happened to that support? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, April the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. Michael New, columnist for National Review Online, about the Biden administration's budget and the Hyde Amendment. We'll spend some time with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of The Mad Christian in our series on the Book of Proverbs today. It's Proverbs 22. Then we're going to do listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, and we'll round everything off today doing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, and you could vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to discuss the Biden administration's budget and the Hyde Amendment, Dr. Michael New. He's a regular guest, visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and columnist for National Review Online. Dr. New, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
What is the Hyde Amendment, and why was it first enacted more than 40 years ago?
Sure. The Hyde Amendment is a annual rider that's on the appropriations bill that funds Health and Human Services, and it basically limits the ability of the federal Medicaid program to pay for elective abortions with tax dollars. And the Hyde Amendment has been passed every year since 1976, and essentially after Roe v. Wade, pro-lifers realized that they couldn't necessarily overturn Roe v. Wade in the short term, but they wanted to do a few things to protect the conscience rights of taxpayers and lower the abortion rate. And the solution they came up with was the Hyde Amendment. And again, it was passed in 1976. It enjoyed bipartisan support. It stated that, again, federal taxpayer dollars could not be used to fund abortions, or at least fund elective abortions, through Medicaid. And it has been successful at getting the abortion rate down. That it went through a series of legal challenges in the 1970s. In 1980, in the Harris v. McRae decision, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the Hyde Amendment. They said that abortion is legal, but taxpayers are not required to fund it with taxpayer dollars. And it's been, you know, a part of, I think, every HHS appropriations bill every year since 1980. So it's a bill with a great bipartisan tradition, good politics, good policy, and it deserves support.
The Biden administration released its budget today. Can we tell if the Biden administration plans to pursue repealing of the Hyde Amendment?
Well, the budget they released today doesn't give us a lot of information. It wasn't a complete budget. It was referred to as kind of a skinny budget. So they gave us some information about their funding priorities for the year, but they didn't really go into the Hyde Amendment specifically. That said, there are aspects of the Biden budget that concern pro-lifers. There's a big funding increase for the Title X family planning program. In the past, that family planning program has funneled quite a lot of money, millions of dollars, to Planned Parenthood. So that's something that we need to be concerned about. There's also more funding for the United States Population Fund. They have a long history of support for the Chinese government's population control programs, which include forced abortions. So this wasn't the full budget. It was a skinny budget that kind of gave some information about priorities. It didn't say a lot about the Hyde Amendment per se, but there are other funding priorities in the Biden administration that pro-lifers should be concerned about.
Has President Biden been a supporter of the Hyde Amendment in the past?
Yeah, interestingly, as a U.S. senator, Joe Biden supported the Hyde Amendment. He had the position that many Democrats in the House and Senate did, where they felt abortion should be legal, but not funded with federal taxpayer dollars. In fact, when he was running for president, somebody found a letter that he wrote to a constituent of his back in 1994, where he bragged that on no fewer than 50 occasions did he vote against for taxpayer funding of abortion. So by and large, throughout his Senate career, Biden supported legal abortion for the most part, but he opposed taxpayer funding of abortion. So as a senator, he did have a history of supporting the Hyde Amendment.
Can we know how many lives the Hyde Amendment has saved?
We can make some good estimates. I mean, it's interesting. I'm a researcher, and I do a lot of writing and research on sanctity of life issues. And on a lot of issues, researchers disagree. We don't agree about the mental health risks of abortion. We don't agree on the physical health risks of abortion. But when it comes to the issue of taxpayer funding for abortion, everyone who's looked at this issue agrees that the Hyde Amendment saves lives. Everyone agrees that when you quit funding abortions through federal taxpayer dollars, abortion rates go down. So the Center for Reproductive Rights did a study, or I should say more like an analysis, back in 2010. They concluded the Hyde Amendment had saved over 1 million lives. I did a study for the Charlotte Loesch Institute back in 2016. We updated that study in 2020. I found the Hyde Amendment has saved over 2.4 million lives since 1976. So people shouldn't say that pro-life political involvement has been for naught. Because we got involved in politics and because we've kept passing the Hyde Amendment, there's 2.4 million people walking around today who owe their lives to the Hyde Amendment. So it certainly saved millions of lives.
What do we know about abortion rates in states that fund abortions?
We know that in states that fund abortion, abortion rates tend to be higher. We've seen examples of this. For instance, Illinois, tragically, they started funding abortion through their state Medicaid program. They don't use federal taxpayer dollars. They use their own state taxes. So in Illinois, they started funding abortion, I think, through their Medicaid program in 2018, and their abortion rate went up by over 10%. And we've seen that in other states as well, that a lot of states that fund abortion through their Medicaid program, including California, New York, these states had a much higher abortion rates than states that don't fund abortion through their Medicaid program.
How do the abortion rates of black women compare with white women?
African-American women tend to have higher abortion rates than white women. There's a variety of reasons for that. Simply put, low-income earners tend to have higher abortion rates than high-income earners. Also, Planned Parenthood tends to be located in neighborhoods where there is a high concentration of minorities. Tragic, Margaret Sanger believed in eugenics. And if you look at the activities of Planned Parenthood today, it's kind of clear that her legacy of eugenics lives on. So those are a couple of reasons why you see higher abortion rates amongst African-American women.
So why do groups like Planned Parenthood oppose the Hyde Amendment?
Well, basically, Planned Parenthood opposes the Hyde Amendment because they want abortions paid for with taxpayer dollars. It's a source of revenue for them. As abortion rates have gone down, that's a revenue source for them that's drying up a bit. So essentially, they would like to see abortions paid for with taxpayer dollars as a new source of revenue for them. So, they support abortion. They think it should be legal. If the Hyde Amendment is repealed, abortion rates will go up. And that's kind of consistent with the policy goals of Planned Parenthood.
Why has the longstanding bipartisan support for the Hyde Amendment disappeared?
It's interesting that basically you've seen some interesting shifts within the Democratic Party. That for a long time, part of the kind of Democratic electoral coalition consisted of a lot of people who came of age either during the Great Depression or World War II. And these voters were often Catholic. They were often ethnic voters, and these voters tend to be moderately liberal on economic issues. They supported programs like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, but they were also socially conservative and were often pro-life. So the Democratic Party kind of realizes that they need this block of voters to be successful electorally, and as a result, that made sense for a lot of Democrats to support the Hyde Amendment. This demographic block of voters is kind of fading away. If somebody was 10 years old when the Great Depression happened, they're probably in their late 90s or over 100 now. They've been replaced by a younger generation of Democrats that's a lot more secular, frankly, a lot more liberal on sanctity of life issues. And again, that has a lot to do with why the Democratic Party has changed their position and why many Democrats, including tragically Joe Biden, now oppose the Hyde Amendment.
Finally, what do the American people think about federal funding of abortion?
You know, it's interesting. There's a very strong consensus amongst the American people that they don't want their taxpayer dollars going to elective abortions. And we have a lot of survey data on that. Since the summer of 2016, there have been at least 9 national surveys that have asked about taxpayer funding for abortion. And in 8 of the 9, a majority opposed taxpayer funding of abortion. And in all 9, a plurality opposed taxpayer funding for abortion. So this is good policy. It's good politics. You know, it's just pretty clear that Americans don't want their taxpayer dollars going to abortion.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor for social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and columnist for National Review Online. You'll find a link to Dr. New's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. New, thank you again.
Well, thanks for having me.
Folks, spring is the time when many children are confirmed in the church. If you're looking for a great confirmation gift, visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com. Our series on the book of Proverbs will continue on the other side of this break with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of The Mad Christian. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 22.
We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can meet and hear Dr. Robert George at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.